Greetings and welcome once again to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tuning with us today, and we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes as we share together with you from God's Word. In a few moments, we will continue our series of studies on the topic, how do you count your blessings? We're looking at the blessings that God has given to the church, the body of Christ, in this dispensation of grace. We're going to determine where those blessings are, how we receive those blessings, and then exactly what are those blessings that we've received in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 is our starting point for today's study. So you might want to take a moment now, get your Bibles, and turn with us to the first chapter of Ephesians. And as you turn there, I'll remind you once again that you are watching Grace Alive. And at the end of the program, we'll be giving you complete information about how you can contact us here at Grace Alive with any questions or comments that you might have. Or if you'd like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes or the CDs or DVDs of this entire four-week series. We have a mailing address, of course, a web address, and a toll-free phone number. And if you contact us in any one of those ways this month, we'd be glad to send you the tapes or the CDs or DVDs of this entire month's series of studies. So just get a paper, pen, or pencil and get that information down at the end of the program, and do feel free to contact us. Right now, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Ephesians 1 and verse number 3. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We started with this verse last week, and we also started by quoting the words of a hymn. The words of the hymn, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And that hymn encouraged us to count our blessings and to name those blessings and to understand those blessings. Well, here in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul is talking to us about the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus as members of the body of Christ. So in this month's series of studies, we want to take some time and understand exactly what those blessings are. If we are to do what the song asks us to do, count your blessings, name them one by one, then we certainly need to know where those blessings are, what those blessings are, and how we receive those blessings. Today we want to answer the question, why are we blessed? Last week, as we started this series of studies, we saw that there is only one being in all the universe that is worthy of being blessed. To be blessed means to have favor conferred upon you, to have someone speak well of you and confer favor upon you. In the verse here, verse 3, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is the only being that is worthy of having favor bestowed upon him. He's the only being in the universe that really, in and of himself, is worthy. Anybody else that's blessed is blessed because of God's grace, because God determines to bestow favor upon someone, not because we deserve it. You and I do not deserve blessing, do not deserve favor being bestowed upon us, because we are sinners in Adam's race. Therefore, we are without worth in the sense of being worthy of receiving blessing from God. God is worthy of being blessed. So today we want to talk about why God would bless someone who is not worthy of blessing. Why does he bless us? Because Paul goes on to say in this verse, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. You see, that God who's worthy of blessing has blessed us who are not worthy of blessing. And we need to understand why that is. Why would God bless someone who is not worthy of being blessed, is not worthy of blessing? Now, before we start answering that question, I want to just remind you of something we talked about last week regarding blessing, because we will just touch on it today again. There are two kinds of blessing. There are natural blessings, and then two, there are supernatural blessings. And those natural blessings are blessings that come just because you're a part of God's creation. They come upon all men, on saved and lost, on the just and the unjust, on the good, the bad. They receive these natural blessings. And frankly, most times when even believers think about blessing, That's the kind of the thing they think about. And perhaps even when the songwriter wrote the song, "Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done," he's thinking more about taking stock of the things you can see in life. You have a home, you have food on the table, you have a family, you have a vehicle, you have a job, you have all the things that you have that are just a part of this life. Those are all part of just the natural course of creation. And those are things that are not bestowed upon you by God uniquely because you are His child. Those are things that are bestowed upon all of God's creatures, whether they have become His children by faith or not. There are unsaved, unrighteous, evil people in this world that have food to eat, cars to drive, homes to live in, families, jobs, all the things that believers have. Not because God has given them a special blessing, but because they are a part of God's creation, and as such, they are a part of that natural, creative blessing of God. The blessings, though, that we're focusing on are these supernatural blessings. Blessings that come outside of just the normal course of nature. Blessings that are reserved for God's special people. Special people in the sense that they've come to Him by faith. Blessings that are reserved for His children. You see, all men are not God's children. Just because you're born into this earth, born into God's creation, doesn't mean that you're His child. In fact, Jesus Christ looked at a group of men in John chapter 8, verse 44, and He says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do." So they, even though they were born into this earth, a part of the creation, they weren't God's children. They were children of the devil. These supernatural blessings are blessings that God reserves for His children. We saw those two groups, the nation Israel and the church, the body of Christ. Those two distinct groups of people in Scripture both receive supernatural blessing, receive blessing above and beyond just the blessings that come because you're a part of God's creation. Receive blessings that God reserves for His children. Now, we want to, as we go through this process of understanding why we're blessed, how we're blessed, where we're blessed, we want to do it sort of with that context in mind, that He blesses His children, Israel, and He blesses His children, the church, the body of Christ. He blesses those that were His children under the law, the nation Israel, and He blesses those that are His children in the dispensation of grace, the church, the body of Christ. And in understanding that distinction, when we ask the questions why, how, where, we begin to see some distinctions that come about in these supernatural blessings. All of God's children, in all ages, in any dispensation, have been blessed supernaturally by God, outside of the normal course of creation. But they've been blessed in different ways, at different times, and depending on exactly who those people are. So let's today understand why blessing would come. Why would God bless someone that is not worthy of being blessed? And that's the way men are by definition. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. So none of us are deserving of this supernatural blessing. We all, even though we've sinned and come short of God's glory, partake in the benefits of creation. But why would God go beyond creation and supernaturally bless some who are not worthy of blessing? Well, let's go to the book of Romans chapter 9. What about the nation Israel? Why did God bless that group of people, and on what basis did He choose to bless them? Well, Romans chapter 9 and verse number 7. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now he's talking here about God building this nation. We read last week in Genesis chapter 12 that he said to Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. Romans 9, Paul is recounting that and recounting the years following that when God is building that nation that he promised to Abraham in Genesis 12. And he says this beginning in verse 7, neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, in that passage of Scripture, God talks about choosing. He chose Abraham. Abraham had two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael by the bondwoman Hagar, Isaac by his wife Sarah. And God chooses Isaac, not Ishmael. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. Isaac's wife, Rebekah, has two children, twins in her womb, Jacob and Esau. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. I choose Jacob. And incidentally, that issue of Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, doesn't mean that Esau was, some people will use that to say, well, you see, God chose to save Jacob, and Esau he damned to eternal destruction. That passage is not about salvation. That passage is about who God chose to build the nation. And he chose Jacob, he chose Isaac instead of Ishmael, he chose Jacob instead of Esau. And both Ishmael and Esau could be saved if they came to God in his prescribed way through their brothers. Through their, for Jacob it was a full brother, for Ishmael a half brother. But the point is that passage is not about Ishmael or Esau's salvation. It's about who God is choosing to bless, to confer favor upon. And he chooses to confer favor upon Abraham, upon Isaac, and upon Jacob. And Jacob's name gets changed to Israel, and his children become the children of Israel. So in order to be blessed in that economy, in that dispensation, under the law, first requirement is God's blessing flows through Abraham, through Isaac, and through Jacob. God's blessing did not flow through Ishmael, to Ishmael, or through Ishmael. God's blessing did not flow to Esau or through Esau. God's blessing flowed to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, through them to Jacob's 12 sons, and out into the nation Israel. That nation is blessed. That nation is set aside. That nation is special. In Romans chapter 9 here, we read of some of the special things about that nation. Notice verse 4. Who are Israelites? That's these descendants of Israel, are Israelites, the descendants of Jacob, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Whose are the fathers? And of whom as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. There's great advantage in being a Jew. And here's some of those advantages. Here are some of the blessings that God gave to that nation, those that were physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He gave them the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, the promises, the fathers, and of them, as concerning the flesh, Christ came. All of those blessings listed there in verse 5, 4 and 5 are blessings that came to the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If you notice back in Romans chapter 3, Paul lists another advantage of being a Jew. Romans chapter 3, verse 1. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. It's through that nation that God gave His word. It's through that nation that God spoke to mankind. You see, that nation, He spoke well of them. He conferred favor upon them in many ways. Why? Because they were descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now you say, why Abraham? Well, that's a choice God made. Paul says in Romans chapter 9, shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? God forbid, no. God chose Abraham, chose him to be the father of that nation, and chose Isaac, not Ishmael, and chose Jacob, not Esau. And it was God's free will to do that, God's free sovereign will to choose those men and to bestow favor upon them. So the first, in order to receive this supernatural favor in time past, it was necessary to be a physical descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But it went beyond that. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Exodus, chapter 19. Not only did you need to be a physical descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but also you needed to obey God's law. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Not only did they have to be physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but He gave those physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob a law to keep, rules and regulations and ordinances. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 28, He talks about the importance of keeping that law, keeping those rules and ordinances. Verse 1, it shall come to pass that if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all His commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Do you want to be blessed by God? That's what we're talking about here. Him to bestow favor upon you? Well, to have favor bestowed upon you by God, it's necessary that you keep the law that God gave you. You need to be a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you need to keep the law that God gave to you. And if you're a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and if you keep that law, then you'll be blessed. What if you don't? Verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all His commandments and His statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. You see, the curse comes, even if you're a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, even if you're a part of that physical nation Israel, if you don't obey God's law, rather than the blessing, you get the cursing. So, why was Israel blessed? Well, they were blessed because they were descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why Abraham? It's the sovereign free will of God that He chose Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. But that's why they were blessed, because they were physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and because as physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they kept the law. One last passage about this. Turn to the book of Matthew. Chapter 3, when John the Baptist comes baptizing in the wilderness. Matthew chapter number 3. And Matthew chapter number 3 and verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say to you that God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. See, it's not enough just to be Abraham's children. You have to be Abraham's children. And Paul tells us in Romans chapter 4, you have to walk in the steps of faithful Abraham. So yes, a physical descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that's key, that's crucial, that's necessary. But you have to also keep the law that God gave to your nation through Moses. And when those two things come together, that brought supernatural blessing upon this nation. The descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, keeping the law that God gave to Moses, received supernatural blessing. What about today in the dispensation of grace? Well, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Why are we blessed today in the dispensation of grace as members of the church, the body of Christ? Well, notice 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, we've been bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And notice what Paul says there in Galatians chapter number 3, verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Is our blessing today based on the fact that we are a Jew, that we are descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Well, Paul just said in Galatians there, if you've been baptized into Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, male nor female. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that you've both Jew and Greek, both bond and free, have been baptized into Christ and been made one. Your blessing today does not come because you are a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Does your blessing today come because you keep the law? Turn to the book of Galatians. We're already here in chapter 5. Galatians 5 and verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he's a debtor to do the whole law. If you be circumcised, that's a part of the law, and the whole issue is here keeping the law. If you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you how much? What's the verse say there that we're reading? Nothing. Does that sound like conferring favor upon you? Do you have favor conferred upon you because you're circumcised and keep the law today? Not at all. You see, supernatural blessing came upon Israel because of who they were. They were descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and because they kept the law. Those two issues are not the basis of blessing today. You are not blessed because you're a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are not blessed because you keep the law of God. But there is a reason why God would bless you today. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. The passage that we've been starting our series of studies with. Ephesians 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Why would God bless you today? He would bless you today if you're in Christ. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Notice verse 3, the last two words, in Christ. He has chosen us in him, in Christ. Verse 6, we are accepted in the beloved, in Christ. You see, our blessing, God's, the focus of all of God's blessing today is the person of Christ. In Him, in Christ, Paul says in Colossians, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Romans 8, Paul says, how shall not He with Him freely give us all? How shall not God with Christ freely give us all things? All the blessing and the favor that God has bestowed upon Jesus Christ, He bestows upon us because we're in Christ. How do you get in Christ? Not by being born as a descendant of Isaac, or Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not by keeping the law, but by faith. By grace through faith. That not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. We are saved when we simply place our faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ as payment for our sin. When we believe that His death, burial, and resurrection paid the penalty for our sin, He places us in Christ, and once in Christ, we receive all the blessing, all the favor that rightfully belongs to Christ. Why does God bless us today? Not because we're Jews, not because we keep the law, but because by faith we are in Christ. We'd like to invite you to write to us with any questions or comments you might have about what you've heard today. Our address is Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. That's Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Our web address, www.gracealive.org, and that's a new web address for us. The gracealive.us will still work, but we have a new website, and we're building a new website, gracealive.org. And our toll-free phone number, 877-53-GRACE. We look forward to hearing from you this week in any one of those ways. When you contact us, if you'd like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes, CDs, or DVDs of this entire month's series of studies, just request them. We'll be glad to get them out to you without any cost or obligation. And now till next week, we trust that God's grace will truly be alive in your life.